At Brain Trust Insights, one of our core values is we are cooperative and aware. When we consider what invites change in government, the single greatest factor is voter participation. Regardless of political or ideological affiliation, encouraging more citizens to become aware of and actively participate, cooperate, in the political process is a worthy aim. Why don't more people register to vote and show up at the polls? We looked for this data. It wasn't easy to find, but someone else already collects it. After every 2- and 4-year election in the United States, midterm and presidential, the United States Census Bureau collects what's known as the voter supplement to the current population survey. The Census Bureau asks thousands of citizens why they did or did not participate in the voting process, including registration, and publishes that information, that data, for the public good. The challenge with Census Bureau data, and government data in general, is that it's very unwieldy to manage and analyze. Even when processed and refined by credible third parties, it's still a pain to deal with. However, the insights within the data are too valuable to pass up, so we dug into it. Let's dive into what we found. In the big picture, why don't people register to vote? More than 13 million Americans said they weren't interested in politics, and another 1.58 million said their vote wouldn't make a difference. In the chart in the associated blog post with this episode, we've color-coded the reasons that are correctable, that reasons that are with time and effort and education, citizens could potentially be brought back into the participation process. What are those reasons? Not interested in the election or not involved in politics at 13.6 million. Did not meet the registration deadlines at almost 4 million. My vote wouldn't make a difference at 1.58 million. Did not know where or how to register at 1 million. And difficulty with English at 600,000. Again, these are all correctable reasons. These are all reasons that you can fix by encouraging your fellow citizens to vote. In the blog post and the interactive, there's also a state chooser. So if you'd like to, you can actually try this out at the state level and see what the reasons are. For example, in California, difficulty with English is a substantial interfering variable. Anyone working to encourage eligible citizens to vote should be prepared to assist with language translation. Next, age and gender matter, and they actually matter quite a lot. Why do people... Who in the age and gender categories does not register to vote? We see a substantial number of people in the younger brackets who don't participate. In particular, we see over 1 million women ages 18 to 23 who are not interested in politics or the election, and 1.1 million men between ages 18 and 23. And this goes on the age 24 to 29, another million women there, another 1.1 million men in the 24 to 29 bracket. But in the variables that are correctable with effort, did not meet registration deadlines, between women and men, over 1 million people were ineligible to vote between the ages of 18 and 23 because they missed the registration deadlines. And another 250,000 didn't know where or how to register. That's a lot of people. People who became ineligible to vote, who lost their right to exercise their vote simply for bureaucratic reasons. Reaching out to these citizens and helping them register to vote should be a key part of any political organization's mandate. Again, regardless of partisanship, regardless of ideology, just getting people to do the paperwork is a key part of getting that participation, and it's easy to do. Let's next take a look at The Office, not the TV show, but by employment. When we look at employment status, the number of people who don't register to vote because of employment is substantial. Almost 8 million people who are at work were saying they weren't interested in the election or in politics, and almost 2.5 million didn't meet the registration deadlines, again, possibly because of work. Fortunately, online voter registration is becoming easier. So if you are at work, please make sure you encourage your coworkers to register to vote online, whether you're working at a construction site, a pharmacy, in an office, wherever you are. Thanks to the prevalence of the smartphone, the supercomputer in your pocket, encourage your coworkers to register to vote. When people do register to vote, how do they do it? When we look at the data state by state and overall, a substantial number of people, 3 million in California, almost 3 million in Florida, more than 3 million in Michigan. Register at the Department of Motor Vehicles. Another, million here and there. Register at the local town hall, county office, and things like that. A lot of people, particularly in California and Florida, register by mail, by postal mail. They mail in their registration, and then a distant fourth is registering online on the internet and things like that. If our goal is more citizen participation, then methods like registration by mail and online should be priorities. People who have disabilities should be aware that, hey, you don't have to leave your home in order to register to vote, nor do you have to leave your home in order to vote. What's concerning, at least from an emotional perspective, is that so many people register at the Department of Motor Vehicles. Certainly, we don't want to discourage anyone from registering to vote by any means. But think about it. No one really enjoys going to the Department of Motor Vehicles. It's not a place we associate with happy memories or fun times for the most part. It's the Department of Motor Vehicles. It's where we go to wait in line. If we focus voter registration drives and campaigns on the convenience and ease of literally mailing it in or registering online, we will be able to elevate citizen eligibility to vote. So what does this all mean? Encouraging citizens to register to vote is an essential civic duty of everyone who wants an active role in government. Every eligible citizen has the potential to influence how government works. The more people who participate, the better. We encourage you to share this data, share the blog post that goes with this podcast, but most importantly, take action with it. Use this data to reach out to people in your community and drive voter registration, especially focus on those folks who lose their eligibility because of things like deadlines. Get people out and voting. We recommend, if you need a resource to refer people to, the nonpartisan, nonpolitical, no party or candidate recommended, vote.org as a great resource to share with people. That's vote.org online and has all the methods we've talked about here for helping people to register to vote. As President Lincoln said, "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall have not died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." Only when every eligible citizen participates can we achieve this ideal. Thanks for listening. A brief bit about the methodology. We use the 2016 Census Voter Supplement. It's cleaned and prepared by the University of Minnesota's Integrated Public Use Microdata Series, part of the Minnesota Population Center. We downloaded the 37 variables in the 2016 Voter Supplement and merged by metro and state to obtain demographics for the voter samples. The final weighting variable we chose was the WTF-INL, the basic final weight after accounting for variances in population data. The academic citation that accompanies this is by Sarah Flood, Miriam King, Stephen Ruggles, and J. Robert Warren, the Integrated Public Use Microdata Series Current Population Survey Version 5.0 dataset. As always, please subscribe to the YouTube channel and to the podcast and to the email newsletter at braintrustinsights.com, and thanks for listening.